Frequencies are very important in biology, and I don't think they get enough credit for our understanding of health and healing and well-being. Today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to talk about frequencies and how they impact our healing and our health abilities. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about the importance of frequencies. And I think that there is a lot of misunderstandings around this and really not enough attention given to this concept. Because I think that when people hear frequency, they don't necessarily know what it means. And I'm hoping that I can bridge the gap some in terms of understanding what is measurable in biology and what is more subtle. But I think that the subtle energies are important as well. So first off, let's talk about what frequency is. And in terms of physics, we talk about how things will vibrate at a certain rate. And this includes atoms and cells and organs. And because of the way things vibrate, there is sometimes a dissonance that or a coherence that can happen in the frequencies. And those states are going to be able to determine whether someone is diseased or something is diseased or whether it's healthy. Now, in biology, we see frequencies in terms of various things. Our heart, for example, the EKG, brainwaves, EEGs, those have different frequencies. Those have definitions, but they're based on the speed of the wavelengths that are happening. And our heart has a gigantic electromagnetic field that's generated by the frequency. In fact, the heart's electromagnetic field is much bigger than the brain's by a long shot. And those frequencies and those fields that are created from the frequencies affect our health systems. And unfortunately, by the way that medicine is taught, we don't think in those terms other than brainwaves and heart, you know, an EEG and EKG, and to a certain degree, muscle frequencies as well. But these are really important to understand health and disease. Where I'm going now a lot in my practice is around frequencies and emotions, because I think that emotional frequencies affect the frequencies of our organ systems as well, right? And our cells. And so it is very much that the emotions create neurochemical changes. We know that. And my suspicion is that this is a frequency shift that does it. And it could be why we see disease states happen, but it also can be why we see spontaneous healing happen. So, and, you know, in terms of this, I'll just throw this out there that as a physician, if someone breaks their arm, we can set that bone, but we don't heal the bone. There's something else that's healing that. And there certainly are treatments that we've seen that use microcurrent and frequencies to help that go faster. But there's something going on in the body that we really don't fully understand how that happens. The fact that it heals isn't what's amazing, although that is pretty amazing, but the fact that it goes back to the state that it had been in, that's amazing. You know, it's like if you cut a plant back, it's not going to become a kangaroo, right? Even though, and I'll even go a little simpler, if you cut back a raspberry plant, it's not going to become a strawberry. And that's amazing. Like, think about that for a minute. That's, we take that for granted, but it's very much about the frequencies and the patternings of the plants, right? And there's evidence to suggest that there's frequencies in DNA. I won't get into that in this discussion. So let's talk a little bit about frequencies in terms of how the body is an electrical system. Now, one of the things that is a pet peeve of mine is about neurotransmitters, because the idea that things kind of diffuse across these cell membranes and then meet and then go into another cell membrane, in other words, at the synaptic junction, and I'm not denying that, that does happen. But to say that's how neurotransmission is happening, I don't think that's the case. It's way too fast for that. So we know that the nervous system, that there's an electrical current happening. This is what we're measuring when we do an EEG. And we can measure the brain waves because of the electrical patterns. These are frequencies. These are electromagnetic frequencies. The heart, which is the strongest one, as I mentioned, that is a frequency. And this is where heart rate variability is so important, because that's creating changes in the frequency that are actually healthy for us, ideally. I mean, in theory, they can be unhealthy. So the thing that's interesting is that there's frequency changes that happen between cells that are ways that the cells communicate with each other. And so if that's disrupted, then the communication could be disrupted too. And by the way, this is the theory on why Wi-Fi might be dangerous to our health, is because there are frequencies that are happening in these states. Now, I haven't looked at the research on this recently. I know that there were certain things that were discussed with certain frequencies that could be dangerous. I will say this, that as far as this goes, I do think our brains in particular have a protective mechanism from these frequencies. And this is why you can't do neurofeedback holding an iPhone up to your head, even though it is bombarding your brain with something that it's that I think that it's probably at such a high level the brain has a way of filtering it out. It's kind of like if you ever watch Star Trek, when they had shields that they put up to stop the enemy lasers from hitting their ship. I think that our brains do something like that, and I know that sounds a little kind of far fetched. But in my experience with doing neurofeedback, I've seen that that some people, if I turn it up too high, it doesn't do anything. And so that's kind of the piece that I've seen. And in fact, I've had patients who, the higher they go, the worse they get, or the less it helps. And I'm not talking just about my system, like they do other systems and they have adverse reactions, or it just doesn't do anything. So it's kind of an interesting little thought. And by the way, I've talked to other practitioners who've said something similar. So now, when things get dysregulated, when frequency gets dysregulated, that's when we start to see problems in the body. And the question is why do they get dysregulated? Now, that will become a bigger question. But one of the things that we see is chronic stress can lead to these patterns in frequencies, and it will then suppress immune function, digestion, you get mitochondrial issues, anything related to that, that can create that. Now, trauma can lead to this, and part of this, I think, happens is that people get stuck in loops as a result of the incident or incidents. And those loops perpetuate a frequency that is not creating a vibration that is helping the cells. And so this may be the patterning towards inflammation, we know that inflammation can disrupt cell signaling. And we're starting to understand the patterns of this as well. And, you know, emotional suppression can lead to changes in our frequencies as well. And this will then lead to changes in our health. And this is part of the reason why I am putting together more workshops and courses to help people understand this, because I think this might be a part of the missing piece and puzzle piece as to why people have trouble healing sometimes. So I'm going to take a quick break. And on the other hand, other end of the break, we're going to talk about pathways to re-regulation and healing. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Gil Winkleman, your host of Ask Dr. Gil. And before we jump back into frequencies, I just want to remind you that if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgil.com. And I will hopefully be able to get back to you and give you some information, or if you have a topic for the show, let me know. That would be awesome. So one of the things that I think is important is to understand ways that we can change in our frequencies, that we can, to use a new age term, raise our vibration. And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is breath work, because with breath work, you're working towards bringing more coherence into the heart, which resets vagal tone. So what is coherence? Coherence is a term, I actually think it was someone from the Institute of Heart Math that came up with it, Roland McCready. And the idea is that coherence is an emotional state where the heart and the breath are moving in sync. And what can happen to people is, just as a quick example, if you inhale, so you're inhaling, but you feel your stomach go in instead of out, that's an incoherent breath and lung movement or diaphragm movement. So when you inhale, you want to expand your lungs. And when you exhale, you want to contract your lungs. And when you inhale, your heart should be beating a little faster. And when you exhale, it should be slowing down. That's coherence. And when you're in that state, then what happens is that your system begins to relax. It increases vagal tone. And we've seen this. And what can happen is that, all kinds of things in the body can shift as a result of that. So that's one of the things. And I think the breath work is important also because it's going to shift carbon dioxide and oxygen balance. Next thing is meditation and or visualization. These things also help calm the body. And it's not just the breath. It's the detachment of your focus on particular thoughts, right? It's allowing the diffuseness. It's not that meditation, it's not about not thinking. It's about letting go of the attachment to the thoughts that are going by. That's meditation in a nutshell, at least in Vipassana. There are other meditations. With visualization, you might increase coherence, and that will reduce the stress chemistry. So, for example, you could put your hands over your heart and imagine light filling it as you're doing the breath. And that does have an impact that's different than just doing the breath. There's definitely somatic practices that people do, myofascial work, you know, yoga, qigong, anything where you're moving the body, or you're kind of shaking things off. Those things can be useful in terms of letting go and releasing. Now, one of the things that might be a little more woo-woo, but I think there's definitely something around this, is sound healing. You know, chanting, sound baths, tuning forks, rhythmic entertainment, so like ecstatic dance, something where you're able to move in a frequency, or something where the frequencies are being moved on you, as an example. It's interesting that if you hit a tuning fork and you bring another tuning fork with the same resonance together, it will start vibrating. And while we normally think of this in terms of a destructive force, like you use a tuning fork to shatter a crystal, that sort of thing, or my favorite from physics class, which is the wind coming through the Tacoma Narrows and basically destroying that bridge, which was just mind-boggling. And it had to do with the frequency of the metal and the way they built the bridge that was causing the bridge to twist and torque until it just finally shattered. These are real, right? I mean, these are definitely real. But these same frequencies that are causing that change can also heal us. Or not the same frequencies, but similar type of frequencies. And I think that is an important piece to recognize. And so that's why I don't, when people say, oh, I went to a sound bath, or, you know, I chanted, or whatever it is, I don't discount it, because it probably is doing something and helping them. Neurofeedback, I've talked about this a lot on the show, and neurofeedback is really, really important, I think, in terms of helping repattern brain frequencies and brain waves, and helping the brain to kind of calm down, like lowering the tension, if you will, in the brain, or bringing up the excitability if it's too low, which is what we see with head trauma, with concussion and so forth, because sometimes things shut down. Now, a little more squishy is emotional states as frequencies. But I do think that there is evidence enough around this that it is worth exploring. And that is that feelings of love, feelings of gratitude, feelings of safety are immensely important in terms of shifting our physiology and changing our cellular state. Now, I will put a caveat here, and that is that oftentimes when people slow down, symptoms arise, and that can be physical or emotional, right? And this may be why people have issues in new relationships after a while. It's not that necessarily that you realize, oh, this person isn't who you thought they were. It's that your own stuff is coming to the surface as a result of the connection. And similarly in the body, I think what can happen is that as we slow down and start to not be as stressed, that things start to repair, but that will feel like symptoms. And so I think there's a parallel there, right? It's kind of like people don't want to go to therapy And the reason they don't want to go to therapy sometimes is because they know that they're really, you know, angry at their mother, for example, but they don't want to admit that they're angry at their mother. And so as soon as you go, you start to realize that, and that becomes a problem because you still have to deal with your mother or spouse or whatever, father, you know, whatever it is. It's that awareness. Before there was awareness, there was no problem because there was no awareness. Now, the problem was still there. You just weren't paying attention to it, right? And I think that that becomes part of that frequency, right? That's changing the frequency. But once you kind of can see it, then you can start healing it. I think that this, you know, topic we would basically call it as energy medicine. And I think that there are lots of different tools out there, and I don't want to go through all of them, but there's lots of these tools that are there that can help people shift their frequencies. And I think that it's also important, and I want to just make this point real quick, that this isn't to blame people with illnesses. And just because you have an illness isn't necessarily because you're in low vibration. I just want to make that clear. It's not about blame. It's not about spiritually bypassing anything. The purpose of this is to help people healing in their healing. And I think understanding that there's an issue in the frequency levels gives you another tool towards your healing. And if you tend to go to either shame or self-blame, I think that's a piece that needs to be looked at separate from whatever tool you're using, right? And I bring this up because it's so common. It's so common for people to feel shame for the disease that they have or to blame themselves for the disease that they have. And again, and I said this on other podcasts, this isn't about blame. This is about helping you feel empowered in terms of shifting your attitude around what's the situation is. So just a few things that you can do, you know, before we wrap up. Breathing, like I said, doing the coherent breath work, working on a gratitude practice. I think that's a really important thing to kind of cultivate, and maybe after that, spending 5 minutes in silence a day, minimum. Getting outside, walking barefoot. We've talked about this on the show in terms of grounding. Dr. Tom and I were discussing that, and having time outside in nature is, I think, really, really important in terms of helping your vibrational frequency. If you can get out in nature, I happen to live in a place where I can pretty much do that all year round. I can either go to the woods or go to the ocean. And it, you know, that is really healing for people. So just want to reiterate that the important thing is that when you change patterns, you're also changing your frequency. And when you change your frequency, you might become more aware of your patterns, which can be very painful until you deal with it, and then you can release it. And that's kind of where the health and healing comes from. So check out my website, by the way, because I have offerings and I have some new stuff coming in terms of nervous system work, shadow integration work, and some workshops that I'm going to be doing. And if you want to reach out, again, the email is info@askdrgill.com. And you can also fill out a form, if that's easier, on my website at askdrgill.com. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you next time.